Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's Thursday, and that means you're more than halfway through your week. So you know that means the sports world has had its fair share of buzz, especially with the NFL trade deadline causing a flurry on social media. So I'd like to welcome you back for an all-new episode of Listening with KNN Sports Talk Show, where we will be changing things up today with a very special guest. I look forward to welcoming a viral sensation to today's show. So let's not waste any more time. Sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in. As I like to start every show, I'd like to kick it off with Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week segment. Now this week, I'm going to appeal a little bit to my biases, going with my favorite team and honoring somebody that hasn't only been killing the run game, but has been killing the social game as well. That's right, this week I'm honoring Mr. Alex Collins. Now, if you didn't know, the Ravens running back started practicing Irish dance last year, and he's pretty good. Yeah, look him up on social media. And I love this because he used his Irish dancing to stick up for a kid who had been bullied. He'd been bullied for his Irish dancing. So, if you don't know about the story, just to give you a little background so you could be more filled in, Collins was first introduced to the sport by his high school coach's daughter, who Collins called his sister. Now, if that's not enough, Collins actually went to go see some performances in high school of the coach's daughter and actually teased her about it being real sport, and they debated about it for years. So if you know about Collins, you know he was a football star at Arkansas, where he became the third player in SEC history to record three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons and finished second in Razorbacks history in career rushing yards, trailing only who? Darren McFadden. But I thought this was great. When he returned home back in 2016 to train in preparation for the NFL draft, the debate resumed with the coach's daughter, and she dared Collins to try Irish dancing for himself. So, knowing Collins, you guys know he didn't back down from the challenge. And guess what? He had one lesson at the Drake School of Irish Dance in Florida, and after that, the rest was history. That's right. He fell in love with it. He even earned the dancing nickname Mitch Finn, which was inspired by Michael Flatley, a well-known performer from Lord of the Dance fame. So, Collins, thank you for standing up for this kid who shouldn't be bullied for his Irish dancing. But guess what? You're showing that it's cool. That's right. Irish dancing helps him get those yards each and every week on the field. And I'm so happy that you got to meet this young kid after his mom sent out a tweet. So I hope this shows the bullies that guess what? Irish dancing is cool. All right. That does it for this week's Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Today, I am so ecstatic to have the wonderful Miss Sophina De Jesus join me. If you don't know her, she has been a social media influencer for her amazing gymnastics competition videos. So basically, if you go on social media and put her name in, you'll find some of her just wonderful routines from back when she was a UCLA Bruin. So much, guess what? She's also been on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Wow, that just tells you how viral she pretty much went. And that was because of her signature gymnastics performances, especially her floor routine that she was able to do in front of Ellen's audience, including her Bruin teammates. Now, the routine that she did against Utah went viral because she hit signature moves. She hit the quan, she dabbed, she even did the whip and the nay-nay and some other huge hip-hop dances. Sophina has been a young role model to many aspiring athletes and performers. She currently is touring as a public speaker and offering workshops nationally. In addition, she's now signed to More Zap Productions and Management, and her brand is just growing, which is why we had to get her on the show. She's also acting in internet web series and TV shows. She was featured in the popular YouTube Rewind campaign. I mean, Sophina is doing it all with no further ado. Lavina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I mean, you pretty much have done it all. So tell me, do you miss doing gymnastics at UCLA since you left? Because I feel like, I mean, you made such a brand for yourself when you were there.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. It's always going to be a part of me. But, you know, I think I'm ready for another journey and another adventure. So that's something that I will always take from me. UCLA was amazing. You know, I grew so much, matured so much, and I am the person I am today because of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. And tell me now, I mean, how did you kind of get more into acting now? I know you went to school in LA, and I know that's kind of a prime place to be for it. But just tell me a little bit, I mean, has that been always something that you wanted to do? Or, I mean, will we see you back to gymnastics?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I was actually a child actor. So I did acting and dancing and gymnastics. But you can imagine that's a lot going on. So I was on this TV show called Hip Hop Harry when I was younger, and it was so much fun. But I was like, okay, you know, I have to nail it down because I can't keep driving to L.A. and driving practice and driving auditions. And it was just getting too much for my mom to keep driving me and my sister and my brother and, like, everyone, all of us, like, everywhere. So it was really hectic. So I was like, okay, I need to narrow it down. Finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to gymnastics because gymnastics is a very short span sport. You can only do it for so long, you know. Can't do gymnastics, like, very old, you know. I'm technically kind of old for gymnastics a little bit. I call myself a grandma sometimes. So that's funny. But, yeah, so then I was like, okay, so I, you know, I did gymnastics. I was on the national team. You know, I was training for the Olympics and stuff like that. And then, you know, that didn't work out. I got injured and whatnot. Then I went to college. And I was like, okay, after college, you know, I'm in L.A., but there was no time to do any acting or anything like that. So I was like, after college, I'm going back to my other passion, which is acting and music.
Right.
So once I graduated, I'm like back at it now. So that's my little background about where I am now. Yeah.
Very cool. So tell me a little bit about, so when you went viral, basically, while you were at UCLA, how much did your life change from that? I mean, did you have that intention when you were, you know, doing these routines that kind of went with popular culture?
Yeah, see, that was definitely not my intention for it to go viral. I never knew in a million years that would happen. You know, I've always been a dancer, like I said. So I was like, my senior year, I wanted to be my true self. I found my form myself. I went and got it edited. And then my sister and I just played around and, you know, we're like, okay, I want all the cool dance moves in. So we, like, listen, we're like, okay, we're going to flip here, kind of like that. Went back to my coach, you know, made sure she was okay, you know, like, is okay and liked it and whatnot. So then, you know, did that, and I hadn't competed floor in years, pretty much. I competed in freshman year, and that was it. My other years, you know, it was really shaky. It was like a roller coaster, you know, my ups and downs. So I competed, like, two events. I competed bars and sometimes beams. So it was, you know, very sad, and I obviously love floor because, you know, dancing is my thing. So that's one place that I can show off and do that. So finally they were like, you know, we get our lineup like the day of the meet. So before we go and march out, they tell us. So it's really crazy. So they're like, okay, we gather in a circle and it's like so fun. And they're like, okay, this person's on lineup, and, you know, we all clap and stuff like that. And then they called my name. So, Lena, you're on lineup. And I was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? So I started cheering up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Like, finally, I get to compete for it. I worked so hard. Like, I'm ready for this. And I was like, once I got on the floor, I was like, just show off. So, you know, like, be you.
And you did.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did. So, yeah, it was really cool.
No, that's wonderful. I mean, I just loved everything about it. I love the hair color, the attitude you gave. You hit every move perfectly. I mean, it was so much fun just to watch it.
I honestly think
you probably got more people into gymnastics that probably had never thought about the sport, which I think is a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem. And so that takes me to my first segment that I want to do with you. I'm kind of switching it up today with you, but something I really think that needs to be talked about, and it's something that I found from just reading some of your stuff, and some things I know that you've actually been asked about on social media, is your identity. And the reason I wanted to ask about it, because I think a lot of people don't fully understand what an Afro-Latina is. So I'd like to hear from you first. You know, what is an Afro-Latina? Because I know you identify as half Puerto Rican and half Black.
Right, exactly. So in my opinion, Afro is African-American Black, and Latina for me is Puerto Rican, but obviously there's many types of Latina, there's Cuban and Puerto Rican and Dominican and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But me personally, I am Black and I am Puerto Rican, and I embrace both sides completely, like, half and half is exactly what I am, and that's how I embrace it. I never felt like I was at a place, you know, in my Black community or in my Latina community. Maybe a little bit in Latina, just because I'm not extremely fluent in Spanish, because my grandpa lived in Puerto Rico. So whenever I go to New York, which is where my dad grew up, I'll try and talk to my grandpa, and I know some. I'm just not fluent. Like, I can understand him, but I can't speak it fluently, so I'm so annoyed with myself with that. But so he only speaks, like, a little bit of English, so it's like, I need to be fluent. So I'm trying to work on that, too, and hopefully one day I can go to Puerto Rico, like, sooner than later. That's, like, the top of my bucket list.
I mean, that would be wonderful. As long as you take me with you, I'm all for it.
Oh, let's do it. I'm down. Let's start my trip.
No, but I think it's great. I think you touch on something that sometimes people are scared to talk about, and that's just race. And I think Afro-Latinos came up huge during the last Olympics in Brazil because they do have a large population of Afro-Latinos. So I think it's great. You know, you own both sides of your identity, and that, you know, you push both of that. And hopefully, again, you inspire other people who maybe are struggling or don't really know how to identify, you know, that you're strong, proud Afro-Latina, and that it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. I love embracing both sides. People definitely had commented on my Instagram and stuff like that, and, like, you know, you inspire me because, I'm also Puerto Rican and Black, or I'm mixed and all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool, and I love inspiring people and children, and just it's definitely something that I love to give back.
And just, I'm just curious, though, why do you think people are just so fixated, though, on, you know, your how you identify racially?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, I think it's more common nowadays for, you know, mixed people and mixed race and stuff like that. So I think it's, like, coming out more. But before, I guess it was just, you know, one ethnicity. I'm not really sure. I think I found it funny when I was, you know, read comments and stuff like that. I'm like, well, that's funny. They're all, like, commenting on my race. And I just never thought that was a big thing. It's just, like, interesting, you know, seeing comments and stuff like that.
Okay, well, I guess only time will tell. But again, I'm so proud of you for just coming out and owning it. I think that's the best thing that you can do. Then I think you set all the social media trolls down when you do that. So now I'd like to transition to my Across the Nation segment. I want to talk about something that's also kind of really touchy-feely, and that's sexual assault and gymnastics. And I wanted to talk with you about this because you have experience in gymnastics, and you said you've been doing it a long time. So for people that don't know, earlier this month, two-time Olympic medalist Michaela Maroney accused former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar of molesting her for several years, starting when she was 13. She kind of came out and did this as part of the Me Too hashtag that has been trending on social media, which kind of started after all of the allegations that came out against powerful Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. So before I get any more deeper, I mean, do you think that, and it's something that's really come out from a lot of media people, do you think that USA Gymnastics kind of has, like, an accepting culture of this, like, sexual abuse, or has it been under the rug, or what do you think, you know, how they
No. I don't think that USA Gymnastics sweeps anything under the rug like that. They are very always on top of things. I was also on the national team, and I competed with, you know, her and stuff like that. So, and I knew him myself. So, and he always, you know, stretched me out and did stuff and take me up and all that kind of stuff. And I never experienced any of that. My parents were always in my life and very, never was, like, let me alone and, you know, kind of knew, you know, told, like, I like told me, like, you know, the what to look for kind of stuff. But I mean, I sexual assault, you know, kind of people like prey on, you know, different people, and I just wasn't one of those people to be preyed on. He was always very nice to me, you know, very nice and welcoming, and nothing ever happened to me. So it's very sad and unfortunate that it did happen to them, and I didn't even know, and I was right there. So it's crazy that stuff like that does happen, and it's very unfortunate and sad.
Right. I mean, you talked about it. And then if that's not a big enough name, Olympic gymnast Allie Raisman also called for an overhaul of USA Gymnastics organization after the incident that happened back in 2016. She was, of course, a part of the Olympics Final Five team in the U.S. Gymnastics Hall of Fame. She basically said the organization needs to come out and denounce sexual assault and take better preventative measures to keep athletes safe. So, I mean, would you like maybe just to see USA Gymnastics come out as a whole and speak more out against sexual assault? Because it seems like that's what Allie's saying. And she's saying they're not doing enough to talk about it, I think, out publicly so it doesn't happen with these young athletes.
Yeah.
Would you like to see them take more of a stand?
Well, I think that now that, you know, this has all happened, and it's under their watch, that they probably should come out, you know, and say something, because, you know, they did hire him and all that kind of stuff. So that might be something good that would keep other parents that are, you know, pursuing gymnastics and wanting to do Olympics and USA team and stuff like that more at ease. You know, we don't want gymnastics to become unpopular because of this. We, you know, we want people to know that they care and their children are taken care of and watched over, and this stuff, like, wouldn't and shouldn't happen anymore.
Okay, perfect. And then just staying on this subject, one last thing I want to ask you is, it came out recently an article from a lawyer named John Manley. He basically said he thinks this was happening in U.S. Olympic gymnastics because of non-disclosure agreements. And basically he's saying with non-disclosure agreements, it intimidates and silences victims. So I'm just curious, did you ever have to sign a non-disclosure agreement when you were training for the national team or just any part of your gymnastics career?
In all honesty, I do not remember at all. So I don't remember signing anything. I probably did sign something, but
right.
That didn't stop me from, if something were to happen, from me speaking up. Yes, you know, gymnastics is a very stern sport. You know, you don't always want to speak up. But that's why, you know, I am the type of gymnast I am. That's why, you know, my dancing and my gymnastics ended up being viral, because it's not something that's normal in gymnastics. So I feel like a lot of times gymnasts sometimes become a little bit like deer in the headlights, where they don't want to speak up, and they need to have their own voice and be able to know that it's okay to say something. So to get back to the answer to that question, I don't remember signing anything, and if I did,
okay,
it didn't really stop me from saying anything.
Okay, well, thank you for your honesty and your candidness, and your people will appreciate that. And of course, I think we can never lump everybody into the same circle. So it's unfortunate what happened, but hopefully the sport as a whole moves forward. And that takes me to my next subject, moving on to the Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo. I can't believe we're already thinking about the next Olympic Games.
I know, it's crazy.
It's crazy, right? I feel like we were just watching what happened in Brazil, and now we're getting ready for Tokyo. It's like we just completely skipped the 4 years in between, which is crazy to think about. So Tokyo this past weekend, they marked 1,000 days until the 2020 Olympics. Yes, just basically we're just under 1,000 days before we see the wonderful gymnasts get back on the floor and all of the other great American athletes. But this takes me to some problems that Tokyo's having. So we saw Brazil have a lot of problems with the cost. But basically now Tokyo's pretty much having the same problem. So the Japanese government decided to scrap a plan that approved a new project totaling nearly $1.5 billion. So they are kind of scraping some of their original plans. The building of the new national stadium, which will host the opening and closing ceremonies, and the track and field has been plagued by a series of problems and delays, but they say construction should be completed by November 2019. So before I get any further, Sophina, just tell me, I feel like we hear these problems in the Olympics all the time. Do you think the IOC just needs some stricter guidelines on these cities that they pick so that the athletes can have the best things afforded to them, but also so these countries, you know, won't go bankrupt trying to host these Olympic games?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, I don't know, it seems like a reoccurring problem each time, which is kind of sad, which it doesn't seem like, I mean, maybe I was too young to know all of these problems before, but this maybe needs some more structure. I'm not really sure all the logistics behind all of that, but we don't want anyone to go bankrupt, and that seems like that is a big issue. Tokyo, though, is amazing. I did go to Japan for the United States national team as well and competed there, and I had an amazing experience. So the Olympics would be amazing out there. Japan is just awesome, and I would love to go back out there again. So hopefully everything, you know, all the ducks go in a row and whatnot, and, you know, it'll go smoothly, because Japan is awesome, and that would be an amazing Olympics.
Great, because I'm excited for Japan, too. I just hope they can get their stuff right. I've only heard positive things. I've never been, but hopefully I can get out to the Olympic Games. Now, I don't want to scare people. I mean, the IOC is calling for further cuts of $1 billion from the $12 billion budget. That's just crazy to me that these games cost this much money. The only big problem, though, that I saw was recently a water quality survey during the summer at the triathlon venue in Tokyo Bay found E. coli at concentrations up to 21 times the levels permitted by the sport's governing body. A surprise for a country well known for its cleanness. So hopefully they can get that cleared up, because, of course, we already know the problems that happen with the Brazil water.
Yeah.
And we don't want any more athletes getting sick, because we know how great these athletes train. And the last thing you want to do is get over there and be sick and can't compete. That just, you know, defeats everything that you train for. But on a positive note, because I don't like to talk bad, I'm excited about the Olympics because they said they're trying to give the Games a more youthful and urban appeal. The IOC has added several new sports to the program. So that includes 3-on-3 basketball, skateboarding, and BMX freestyle cycling. So, Finn, are you excited about these new sports that they're adding? I think they need it just to kind of spice it up and appeal to the more millennial crowd.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I know a lot of people are going to be super extremely excited about basketball, you know, because that is a big, huge thing in, like, this world. So that'll be very cool to watch, and especially the other ones because you don't really see those events very often. So it's going to be cool and a unique sport to watch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fun. And especially 3-on-3 basketball, I will be in the front row just to watch that.
Right, me too. Skateboarding.
Cool. Yeah. It's just something different that you get.
Definitely.
Baseball and softball and karate are the other new sports added to the program. Karate and the combined sports of baseball and softball were added specifically because of their popularity in Japan. So I think just with that, too, I mean, I think everybody should be tuned in 2020 to the Olympic Games.
We have all of those sports in the lineup. Yes.
It's cool, especially karate, and then it's great. It's great to see. I think softball needs more love. It's going to be wonderful. Then I want to ask you this next question. I know four-time Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles said Monday that she will resume gymnastics training on November 1st with a new coach who was the former coach of Madison back in 2016 when she was the gold medalist. So I'm just curious. I know you mentioned that you feel old, right, as a gymnast. And, of course, Simone Biles is getting older. I mean, do you think she'll still be able to do the incredible things that she did in Brazil this next Olympic round in Tokyo?
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt she will be able to do that. She is a powerhouse, one of the most amazing gymnasts, like powerful gymnasts I've known. You know, she's also an amazing person as well, super fun, super happy, bubbly. She was supposed to come to UCLA, and she came for her official visit, and I was definitely I was showing her around and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of have a similar personality where we're both bubbly and crazy in that sense. So it's really cool. She has an awesome personality and also an amazing gymnast. So I really don't have any doubt that she won't, you know, surpass what she already did in 2016 as well.
I know we are all rooting for her because what she did was incredible. Then if she could do that just again and have her as the anchor, I think U.S. gymnastics will be in great hands and hopefully keep bringing home gold.
I agree. Bring home the gold.
That's all we want. But now I want to transition it to L.A., who actually will have the Olympic Games in 2028. And, of course, you being in L.A., I just thought that was really, really cool. So tell me, what were your first thoughts when you heard that L.A. would be getting the Summer Games in 2028?
Well, at first they were telling me that they were going to, like, have all the athletes, like, stay at UCLA. And I was like, well, isn't that fun? Yeah. But that was very small chance or whatever. So that definitely didn't happen. But I thought that was really cool. It was kind of like a little thing because Jordan Weaver was really like into it. And she was like on the team, the manager for the team. So, yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a background for just a little bit, tag game. So that was really cool. But I think it's awesome, you know, changing that, being in our own country and own city. It would be amazing because LA is just an amazing city in general and has so much to offer. So not only will all the athletes have fun, but it would just be an amazing and different experience for everyone.
I think you're right. I mean, having LA, I think having you back in the U.S. is great, but then a city like LA, I don't think it can get any better. I feel like LA is just having it all. I mean, what doesn't LA have? What athlete would not want to go there? And then I think, you know, structurally, I think they kind of already have what they need. Now, luckily, it's supposed to cost $5.3 billion. I think they can cover it through corporate sponsorships, ticket sales, and other revenue sources. And hopefully, taxpayers don't have to pay. The city has put aside its $270 million just in case cost overrun. So hopefully, they don't overrun that extra $270 million so people don't have to dig deep into their pockets. But that's not the only exciting thing for LA. They also got, of course, the Rams and the Chargers playing. So I want to switch it over to football. I want to start with the Rams since they are 5-2. They're off to their best start in 14 years. They just beat the Arizona Cardinals, their division rivals, 33-0. Their plus 74-point margin trails only that of the Philadelphia Eagles. And their offense has already scored 212 points. Now, Savannah, having football back in LA, how are you feeling about that?
Oh, man. I don't watch too many, like, okay, I don't have, like, a certain team, you know what I'm saying? People probably get upset with me. But it depends on, who, like, if I go into a bar or something or a restaurant with, like, a friend, I'll root for whoever the friend is going with. And all my friends always get mad, like, you have to pick a team. But I just love cheering. So as long as it's a good game and I can cheer and have fun, I'm just all for it. And
then you're for it.
Yes, exactly.
No, that's good. And now with LA having both teams there, I mean, you can only have lots of fun cheering for them. So that is, I mean, LA, like I said, LA basically is doing it all. And that makes me go over to the World Series that you guys are also having down there with the Los Angeles Dodgers facing off against the Houston Astros. Are you a baseball person? Have you been paying attention to this just incredible World Series that's coming down to a Game 7?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I am definitely paying attention. My dad is a little bummed out because he's, you know, a New York, and so he was rooting for the New York, you know. But it's okay, you know, Dodgers are, you know, and, you know, I feel for my dad, you know. But Dodgers, I'm so excited. I, you know, went out to, like, a restaurant the other day, and it was just, the crowd was crazy. So today is going to be amazing, you know. Hopefully the Dodgers or, I'm just playing both teams, you know. I have friends that are rooting for Dodgers and the friends that are rooting for the other team, and I'm like, I don't know, I just want everyone to be happy and safe, so I'm going to be there cheering on and having a blast watching.
I mean, I don't think, whatever side wins, the games that they've given us, especially Game 5, I don't think anybody can complain. I feel like the World Series now is like the must-watch event. I mean, the last World Series game was rated higher than Sunday Night Football, so I think that just tells you
wow.
How many eyes are tuning in to this World Series match. I think baseball has definitely made a comeback in the U.S., which is exciting for the sport. And now I want to transition over to basketball in L.A. Are you a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, led by the newbie,
yes.
Mr. Lonzo Ball?
I'm definitely a fan of Lakers, always have been. Grew up with watching the Lakers, and, you know, Kobe is a big inspiration as well to me. So, and then also Lonzo, he went to UCLA. I wasn't there when he went there for that year, but,
uh-huh.
You know, once a Bruin, always a Bruin, and I'm going to cheer my Bruins on and the Lakers. So it's really awesome, and they've been doing pretty well.
Right, I think people need to give them some props. I mean, they're young. They're still young. They're getting it together.
Exactly. Yeah, practice is perfect. So the more they get out there, the more they practice, you know, give some things under the belt, I feel like they're going to be an amazing team.
There you go. You guys heard it from Safina first. They're going to be an amazing team, so stop hating on them. Let Lonzo play and let LeVar keep talking, but we think they're going to do some great things. And
right.
Now, as I in every show, I'm glad to be joined by a woman. So this is great for my Woman Crush Everyday segment. I'd like to honor Katie Smith, who is the new head coach of the New York Liberty. Katie Smith is one of the most decorated players in WNBA history, and she was recently named this month as the new head coach. I think this is a wonderful move by the New York Liberty organization. I think they have what it takes to bring a championship back home. So props to Katie Smith, who has put in her work. And I think she's a great fit for the New York Liberty. Now, I know it's probably not your team, Sophina, because you're out in L.A. But we have to love a woman just celebrated in, you know, a wonderful promotion for
a great job
that she's just, you know, has put the work in. Well, before I close out, I want to thank you, Sophina, for joining me today. It's been such a blast just learning about you and all the great stuff you're doing. So before I let you go, just tell me a little bit, are you in anything now? Where can people watch you? Where can people see you? What are you currently doing where people can follow you?
Yes, well, definitely. Okay, obviously, you know, follow me on Instagram and, you know, Twitter and stuff like that. But I do have a YouTube channel, so everyone please tune in. It's Sophina the Diva, which is my nickname, and I've had that nickname since I was, like, so little. So I'm stuck with that. It's also my Instagram. I do a lot of skits. I'm still doing a little bit of gymnastics on there, so that's kind of fun. You know, giving back to, like, gymnastics community since I'm no longer really doing it. So I'm doing gymnastics skits and things that I've learned from gymnastics that I can give back to kids or whoever just wants to learn about gymnastics. And then also about my personal life, who I am, my little quirks and crazy little things that I like and whatnot. So please, everyone, you know, follow me on YouTube, Sophina the Diva, Instagram, Sophina the Diva as well, and Twitter, Sophina_Jehisu. And I'm definitely obviously have a lot more other things going on, but that's the big gist of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. I look forward to tuning in. I'm a big fan of Skip, so I will definitely be following today this show. So again, thanks for coming on and for everyone listening. That's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N Sports Talk podcast. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every Thursday morning when a new show drops online at Fox Sports 1340am.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. Join the movement across other social media platforms at hashtag ListenInWithKNN. This has been Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.